Hi, Abundant Soul. I am so excited to have you here on Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Betty Akulubova-Burns, and this podcast is here for you. Without you, I wouldn't be here. So let's take a second to be really grateful to investing this time together, because each week I will be bringing you an interview and solo podcast episode where I will be showing you, teaching you, and guiding you how to create true abundance in your life. Not just the money, that's the cherry on the top, but truly abundance, the overflow in your life in all of the aspects, your health, your wealth, your relationship with self, with others, your business. I am here to expand you, your mindset, your capabilities to be attracted to money. And I can't wait to see what each episode is going to do for you to expand you into even more abundance. Hello, hello, abundant soul. This episode is going to be so good and so juicy. And honestly, I'm regretting I didn't record the last 7 minutes of our talk because it was so good. And it's going to be even better. I know it, because now it's amplified how we are going to be talking about your intuition, your purpose, your gifts. It's going to be so beautiful because our today's guest, she tells story. She literally feels like my business soulmate.
Okay.
My husband will get it, but like my business soulmate, like how we are really looking at the world, the manifestation, the embodiment. It is so similar. And I feel like sometimes people get to hear things in different accents, different ways, million times. So it finally clicks. So I'm really excited to go very deep into all of these things. That will be coming up, but the first things first, I really need to know, like, how did you become, and I know you have a million titles, but I'm really inclined to the psychic medium because I know you have astrology, law of attraction, consult, everything, but like the psychic medium, because I truly feel, and I feel like you have a similar feeling, a lot of people are psychics and they just don't embody it, don't own it. It took me to have my first client who was a psychic medium 3 years ago to realize I'm a psychic too. I'm like, oh, this is what it means to be psychic. Okay. So it's so beautiful when we can embody it. But what really led you on to the journey of owning that you are psychic medium? I feel like we can give ourselves a million titles, but like really owning it? That would be the first question I want to go into.
Oh, I love it. So I'm a grief support counselor, a law of attraction coach, psychic medium first and foremost, and a professional astrologer. And ever since I was young, I mean, I come from a very spiritual family, so I feel very blessed in that way that I've always been able to see energy and aura. I can see auric fields everywhere I go. And as a young kid, I'm first generation Canadian, so my mom is from Malaysia and my dad's from India, and they met in Canada and then they got married and had me. And so being first generation of a different, you know, nationality or descent, ethnicity than the country I'm born in, I just wanted to fit in. So I put it all away at the age of 9. I just shut the door. My mom's like, you can just close the door and just on the top of your head, just imagine a door closing and you close your gifts and you just become normal. And I'm like, I can do that. And I remember doing that at the age of 9. And after that, I just lived a completely normal life. I went on to university and got my business degree, met my husband. And we moved to Vancouver. We had our first kid. And then we had to move back to Edmonton because he had a lot of health concerns. And then we had our second child. That was 14 years ago. And on my second child, that's when everything opened back up again. And I think it was almost like all the foundations of my life had been set. I met this amazing man. Bless him. He did not marry a psychic medium. But as my gifts started to come in, he's like, babe, I believe in you. I know this can't be craziness. So you've got to discover this. And I believe in you. Like, so whatever this is meant to be, I'm with you to the end. I'm like, oh, God, I love you. So as those gifts started to come back in again, I was able to share with my mom. And then things were happening that I knew things about people that I just couldn't, like, shouldn't know. And I was seeing other people's dead people, which is a sign of a medium, because we all have the ability to feel our own loved ones in spirit. But to then see other people's loved ones and to convey messages and be a channel for other people's loved ones, that's a mediumistic quality. So in terms of us being psychic, we're all born psychic, right? If you look at a little baby, they just go with what feels right. They're led by their emotions, right? Your intuition comes through your emotions. Your soul speaks through your emotions. And they're just following their bliss. But when we start to become aware of our ego, we're not really aware of our ego, but our ego starts to create our identity. We start to create these boundaries of who I can be, to be loved, to belong, right? To all the psychology behind our personality. It's fascinating. And when you look at babies and they're mimicking their environment, that's them creating safety, right? They're going to be safe if you see yourself in them. That is not conscious. That is actually a biological wiring within us, right? So we are all psychic. We're all born intuitive. That's available to everybody. But some of us are born more so, more intuitive. And there's actually a lot of studies, and I was shocked when I first found this out, that the more intuitive you are, the more empathic you are, the more volatile your upbringing was. They're connected.
No wonder.
Right?
So like, because I never heard that. I'm like, no wonder that makes sense.
Right? Because you have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to feel safe. So the only way to be safe is to put out your feelers, to be aware of, like when my dad was coming home, is he okay? Is he in a bad mood? Is he slamming doors? He had a terrible temper. He's such a different man now. He went through his own healing journey. It's just, I remember in my 20s looking at my dad going, he's on his own journey. Why did I think he had it all figured out? Our parents don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. I'm a parent. So that whole, but as a child, you take that on yourself. You make that mean there's something wrong with you, right? So a lot of us empaths and intuitives are people pleasers. We're really kind. We're uber considerate because we don't want to put anyone out, right?
Plus, Canadians are even more. I'm sorry to say that, but my clients, Canadians, that's another level.
We say sorry all the time. You just say sorry too, which is funny. But yeah, that's
the... I work with Canadians.
You're taking on that quality. I love it.
Yes.
Right? We're so kind and concerned. We don't want to inconvenience anyone, right? And if your listeners are hearing themselves in that, like you are, that's part of your identity was created through those situations. And I always like to say to my clients now, because I do coaching and grief counseling, that you can take the good and leave the bad. Right. As you get older, you can start to say, like, I like being kind, but I don't really need to be as considerate as I once was. Like, even merging into traffic, I noticed this about myself as I was going down this journey of becoming a coach and grief counseling and all the things that I was merging into traffic people were merging into traffic and I would try to stop so that they could come in. And I almost caused an accident with the people behind me. The people started honking at me and I'm like, no, but I'm trying to be kind. And the other person has the ability to take care of themselves. Right. So us rescuers, if you identify as a rescuer, you are not allowing or believing in the ability of others to take care of themselves. Right. So when you start to change that and flip that switch that, no, you know what? I believe in my child's ability to take care of themselves. I believe in my husband's ability to take care of themselves. You stop worrying because worrying is actually a false sense of love. Right. We are taught that at an early age. When you worry about, I worry about you, it means I love you. It's like, no. When you worry about me, you actually think that I can't take care of myself, yeah. Right? Why would you worry about me if you really believed in me? You wouldn't. You'd be like, you got this, right? You do it to your girlfriends all the time. You got this. Don't worry. I know you can do this. You're not sitting there going, oh God, I hope she could do it. She can do it. Why do we not do that to like our kids, our parents, our spouses? Because worry is taught as a form of love. And it's not. It's actually... You're robbing people of the ability to do it for themselves when you worry. So it's really interesting going on this journey as, you know, as yourself as a coach, you are being therapized yourself. You're going through all of the journey yourself. We're on the expedited journey of self-development. So as a psychic medium, that's amplified because now everything that I see in the world is actually a reflection of me. So if I continue to have clients that are nickel and diming me, or trolls on the internet, what about me feels like an imposter? What about me doesn't believe in my pricing, right? And as soon as I healed those things, stopped getting those kinds of clients, I stopped getting hate. I literally get zero haters on the internet. I also get zero guys trying to like date me on the internet too, which is so fascinating, right? My friends are like, oh my God, I had like 10 of these people. I'm like, I get no one. This is interesting. Like, should I be offended? But at the same time, I'm also like so grateful. Like there's something repelling that because I get none of it. So It's very, very interesting, this journey. We're all psychics. We all have this ability to see ourselves in the world, to feel the energy of the world that we live in, because we're energetic beings having this human experience, right? We all have these energy fields that are picking up information all the time. So yes, we're all psychic, and owning that psychicness is when I came out of the closet. I pressed publish on my Facebook page. That was like, oh my God, I'm going to think I'm a fraud. Right.
And when was that?
That was in 2019, I think, 2018. And it was so, I was like, oh God, I don't know what everyone's going to say. And I started to get comments from people I went to high school with going, oh, finally, you're out of the closet. Or Chitelle, remember when you were in grade 5 and you were the palm reader in the psychic in the school carnival? I was a palm reader in the school carnival in grade 5. I've totally forgot about that. I read the Encyclopedia Britannica, memorized how to read the lines on your palm. And I was a palm reader. That's what I did.
Isn't it amazing, Chitelle, that some other people can see our gifts and we cannot see it? Isn't it so funny? Like,
yes.
And honestly, I'm raising hand. And in so much of your story and everything you're saying, I was like, oh my gosh, like I hope people are watching the YouTube, because I'm like raising my hand like a crazy here. Like here with my head like a donkey. I'm like, yep, that's me. But isn't it so fascinating that we can so much easier see other people's gifts and paths than ourselves? Like, I know how easy it is for me to sit with someone and to see like their business blueprint, like where they can go, how they can go, how they can do it easier, how to monetize their gifts, how to do it with more grace and ease. Not easy, let's be honest, having a business and living this human experience, 100%. It's not easy, but we can do it with grace and ease, right? But then I'm sitting here in my head, in my doubts, and thank God I have an anchor in my mentor. I know you're part of a beautiful mastermind, so am I, different, but like we have our anchors that can remind us, but I'm listening to you. I'm like, yeah, but we cannot see it. So you coming out of the closet and people like, yeah, finally, right? Like finally she's owning it, right? Isn't it so beautiful that like, we are so afraid, but what's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the brain, the primitive brain saying we're going to be ostracized. We're going to be thrown out of society. We're going to be burned at the stake. You have that in your lineage or in your constellation, right? Like all of the ways that we are not going to belong anymore and that people will make fun of us. And I'm going to be honest, and I feel like someone listening or watching is going to have this experience that there is this true fear in their family. There are people that are ostracized from their family because they say they're a witch or that they identify as a psychic, because in some religions, that is a big no-no, right? You give that to God, only God can do that. And you're like, no, that's available to all of us. And the church tries to take that away because that is not a form. They can't control you if you have your own intuition, if you have your own connection to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, the church of God is within, right?
So. Tell me a little bit more, and I love this so much about how you're teaching it. And I'm like, I'm just becoming your best. I just coined myself your new business best friend, just so you know. I like putting myself out there for you. And tell me a little bit more about our soul's purpose. Tell me a little bit more about how can we see what is our mission here? Because I know that like your belief is that everything that is happening, it's part of our journey. We talk about it before we hit the record button. But how can we see more clearly why we are here? What is our soul's purpose? How can we know what is our soul's purpose versus our ego telling us, go there, don't go there, do this, don't do this. When we're in business, when we're trying to launch something, what if we feel that our soul is telling us, go there and support this group of people and do this service, or and then crickets. Like, how do we know what is our soul mission and how we can connect with it even deeper?
Oh, I love that. It's such a deep question and multifaceted. So I'm going to see if I can answer all the questions that you said. So our soul purpose, we are all born with a soul's purpose and mission. But soul purpose isn't just like, go be great in the world and talk about grief or talk about intuition. It's actually much bigger than that. It is a experience that your soul wants to feel and be in this world, right? So it's an embodiment. And your purpose is embodied within the blueprint of your soul. So the more you tap into your intuition, the more you listen to those whispers and those nudges, that is where your purpose lies. But your purpose leaves clues, right? The universe is always leaving you breadcrumbs towards your purpose. So when you look back over your life, you will have many assignments in your purpose. And you look back and you can sort of see, like, one of the things I notice about my purpose is I need to be of service, right? And so I remember in high school, I was called the bad weather friend. So whenever people were going through bad things, they would come and see me. I actually had a little office in the girls' bathroom that they would come and sit and see me. We'd sit on the floor on our jackets and they would like, tell me what's happening. Let me help you. Here's what your next steps are. I was like, she tells psychic corner, but not really psychic. I was the helper, right? I've always wanted to help people. And even like as a kid, I wanted to be a pediatrician because I wanted to help babies and help people have babies too. I wanted to be a geneticist at one point and help people have babies. Like, so it was wild. Like I look back and everything that I ever did, I tried to go into doing things for nonprofit, for charities, but I never got past the first cut. But then I always worked for companies where I made them a lot of money. But what I was doing with my clients, interestingly enough, everything I ever did had a training component. So I love training and passing on knowledge, right? That's also a big part of me. And then the other part of it is I helped people problem solve in their lives. So everything I did, it was actually about relationships and helping people, not just making money. I would make money because I was able to help people and then they would give me their sale. But really, in the end, I'm not that person that can sell ice to an Eskimo. But I can definitely, I'll know everything about your family, your children, and your birth time by the time I'm done, right? So I just love helping people. So when you look back, your soul purpose leaves clues and you just follow your intuition, what you love to do, who you like to help, and that will take you on your mission. The other thing, I actually have a soul purpose group that I run. And one of the things we do is an exercise or an activity that goes back through your childhood to all of your happiest moments. All of the moments in your life, not just your childhood, but you let your spirit bring to your mind every moment that was your most joyful, most expansive time where you felt celebrated, where you were loved, and you write down all the words. So it's three, we'll go through three sessions of like three events, and you're just allowing your mind to bring up what fits with it. So you're not overthinking it. And you're just writing down all the words that came up for you. So connected, love, belonging, any of those words. And you start to then whittle it down to what are your top two words. And your top two words, the opposite is your purpose. So if I was like, so my top two words are belonging and feeling safe. So in my childhood, the opposite was that I never felt safe and I never belonged anywhere. So my purpose is to create safety and belonging for women who are moving through transitions in their lives. And that's what I do. And that's what, with the psychic medium piece, I was helping, people don't come see me when life is good, right? They're always coming to see me because something's happened, somebody's died, they're moving through transitions, they got served divorce papers, like there's uncertainty galore in their life. And so for me, I noticed one of the things that I really wanted was tools to help people go through that. And that was the psychology component of it. So that's why I became a grief counselor as well. And then all the psychology certificates and stuff that I got. And that helps the mind feel safe so that we can drop into the intuition. Because unless the mind is placated or feels safe, it will continue to call the shots, right? So the more that we give our mind that safety, that's why I love hypnosis. I'm a therapeutic hypnotherapist as well. I got lots of tools in the toolkit, right? But that helps us to then drop into the intuition and bypass the ego. But we always want, the ego loves us so much. I think in spiritual community, we often teach that the ego is edging God out. Have you heard that? That term so much because it's not true. It's actually trying to keep you safe. It loves you so much and its only job is to keep your body safe. But your intuition, your spirit self, your intelligence there is knowing your future. It's trying to take you where you're supposed to go. But you can't trust that unless the mind feels safe that you're not going to be in danger, right? So we need both, right? We need both of those things. So it really drives me crazy in spirituality when we're just like, just mindset, just positive over. And like, oh, toxic spirituality is such a thing. And I'm like the opposite. Like, yeah, we need both. We need spirit and we need the mind to come together. And then we also need somatic, the body, right? To be okay too. So all three, mind, body, spirit, so, so important. So do I answer your question about purpose? Like, it's,
please. I love it. I love it. I love the exercise so much. And it made me, I'm like, Petya, stay present because I'm already trying to think and do the exercise. I'm like, no, you will do it on your own time. But what if, because you said it at the beginning, like people who are like psychic, they experience like traumatic upbringing. And we both know when we experience traumas, sometimes we block the memories, right? Like sometimes we're like, well, I don't remember. I was talking with my good friend a couple of days ago and she was like, oh yeah, my dad, he was telling me how when he was little, this and this was happening. And I'm like, how he could remember when he was a baby? I'm like, I don't remember anything, like nothing. So for those who don't remember, like what, like when you say childhood memories, like how far back and what if you don't remember? What
if nothing? Your overthinking mind.
Oh yeah.
That's also part of having a traumatic childhood. Your overthinking mind tries to make all the situations safe for you, right? So your mind, your spirit will bring forward the memories that you need. It's always the answer. Like you'll get what you need. You don't have to think about it. If you don't have childhood memories come up, that's okay. It's the times when you felt the most loved, the most cherished, the most wonderfulness in your life. So maybe that's birthday party, or maybe that was a trip to Disneyland, or maybe that was they took you out for dinner and you just felt so loved and cherished. When you do the exercise, you do it in a meditative state. So you're just allowing it to come in and you don't know. I was surprised at the three that came in for me. I was like, oh my God, it was like my birthday when I was 7. That came up. I was like, I wouldn't have picked that if I was to think about it, right? We can't use this to heal ourselves. This always keeps us in a safe and known. Our brain is what I'm pointing to for those of you who aren't in YouTube. And we need our spirit. So when we are thinking back, like I have a lot of clients, and it's really interesting in astrology, in the fourth house, which is at the bottom of the chart, if you have Neptune in there, Neptune is the fog, spirituality, burial, connection to the divine. If you have that in your fourth house, you likely will have zero memories from childhood. Like you just don't remember. It creates fogginess, right? So we always follow the emotion. I said, you don't need to know the memory. And even if you have like a very traumatic experience, very traumatic sexual assault, any of that stuff that's happened in your childhood, you don't need to revisit any of those details. It's we work with the emotions and what your body held on to, right? What did you make it mean? What was the belief that came from it? That is what we like to work with, because in trauma, and Dr. Gabor says, it's not what happened to you, it's what happened within you, what you made that mean. That is the lasting effects. And we want to deal with that, right? So it's so interesting when we think about why can't I remember those things? It's because it's not important. Mm. Bottom line, it's not important. And what you need to remember, you'll remember when the time comes, right? Things will unlock when you feel safe enough. Your brain puts up boundaries and barriers to keep you safe. So I always say in grief support counseling, like it's not my job to do PTSD work or deep suicide work, or that's not my expertise and that's not the field that I like to play in. And bless the therapists and psychologists that do that work. But when we start to become aware of things from our childhood, I was just walking when I was coming back from Phoenix. I was just in Phoenix for a conference or the mastermind. And I had this weird memory come up from childhood with regards to Kool-Aid. And I was like, huh, that's really interesting. Like I have not thought about that like for 30 years. I was like, so weird. And I was like, I got a smell of something that brought that back. And as I started to unpack that memory, it was about being free and being a child. And that's how I felt on the trip, really, to just be free and to play and to enjoy life again. And so noticing when those memories come up for you, even if they seem out of the blue, there's a reason, there's an opportunity. I hate one of the most toxic sayings in the human language. Well, two of them is let it go. Right? You complete me. Oh, like that's just codependency. And then the third one is everything happens for a reason. It's like if you say that to someone who's grieving, everything happens for a reason, they're going to turn around and punch you, right? Like it is the rudest thing to say to people who are going through tough times. Instead, I'll urge your listeners and people to think about everything happens for an opportunity, because it's not what happened to you. We might never know why bad things happen to good people. We just don't know, right? And we can say it's a soul lesson and we wrote it into our contract, but it feels really painful in the moment. Why would a child die of cancer? Why would children be sexually assaulted, like molested? Like that is awful, right? So we didn't bring that in for a reason, but what we make it mean afterwards is where we take our power back. that's where the control is, right? So even after someone's passing, here in Canada, we had a really awful, it's called the Humboldt bus crash. And it was these men who played, they're 17-year-olds, and they played high-tier hockey. And they were in a massive accident with a semi in rural Saskatchewan, which is a rural province here in Canada. And half of them died. These brilliant young men that had so much promise and such bright futures ahead. And the truck driver was charged. He'd only been driving for a little while. He was deported back to his home country, which was India. And he was tearful. He's like, I didn't mean this. I would never have chose this. I don't know why this happened. I'm so sorry. And half of the boy's parents forgave him. And those boys' parents went on to create foundations, create scholarships, create plaques and memorials for their kids, right? Like they moved forward in their child's memory to honor their life, their legacy with something more. The other half of the boy's parents were still very stuck in the grief, right? Very angry at him and said, I will never forgive you in the trial. And they're still stuck in that trauma cycle. So it's really what could they make it mean? What could they create? What's the opportunity here? Because bad things happen to good people. That's just it, right? So when we come back to all of this, it's like, what can we create in our lives that helps us feel so in purpose? And I totally forgot what the question was.
Oh, I love this. So we're just like rolling here, and I could be literally rolling here with you for like 3 hours and have 10 million questions. And I love these to be short, and I love these to be deep and powerful, which this is. And I feel like we accomplished the purpose to really inspire people, give them some tools to have something to walk away with. And honestly, to crave them for more. So Sheetal, for those who are right now craving so much more to learn from you, what is your favorite place to connect online, and how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, I love social media. I'm very social. I'm an extrovert. I don't know if you can tell. So if I ever meet you in person, I'll totally give you a hug and be like, tell me. But I'm on Instagram under my name, Sheetal Story, S-H-E-E-T-A-L Story, S-T-O-R-Y. So at Sheetal Story on social media. And then my website is sheetalstory.com. And you can book a reading or book grief support counseling class in there. I teach intuition 101. I have a soul contrast class running next month as well. So I do a lot of things on like spiritual topics that also intersect with like grief and psychology, because we need both. We need the spiritual and we need the mind. And then we also do some somatic work that I like to throw in there as well, like sprinkle it like dust, like stardust. But yeah, that's the two places that I'm the most visible. I'm on Facebook as well under Story of Spirit is my name there, but more so active on Instagram because I get to really like interact, and I'm in the DMs all the time, like people who DM me, and I love to have conversations back in that too. So yeah, please do follow me. I'm excited to connect with anyone who finds me through here. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, Petya, for having me here. Like this has just been lovely. I feel like I was meant to meet you. That's what this was all about, because you are divinely my twin for sure.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to stay connected and see how our listeners were inspired. So if you love this episode, make sure to share with someone and take a screenshot of us or whatever, wherever you're listening. Let us know what was your aha moment. I know I will be going back and taking notes because this was so amazing, as I knew it would. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, Sheetal. Thank you for living your soul story and inspiring others to do the same.
Thank you. And I'm going to invite all of your listeners to go on to Apple, like iTunes, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to the podcast, and write a review of why you love Petya, what she brings to this world, because I was perusing down her podcast. I was binging it before I came on here. And I'm like, she's got such good material. You're so heart-driven and heart-led. We need more reviews on there to get this seen and in front of more people's eyes. So please go leave some reviews and let's get you higher on that list so people can find you, because you're brilliant.
My business bestie. Thank you so much. My love, thank you so much for investing your time with me here on Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm so happy we could share this time together to create space for new abundant life that it's on its way and it's already here with you. If you could take 1 second to share this episode with someone you think would love this, that would be absolutely amazing and I would be forever grateful. Also, please remember to leave us a review if you feel so moved by going to iTunes. And leave us your honest thoughts and comments. Tell us, what do you want to hear more of? It would be really helpful for us on our journey so we can help thousands and thousands of people more. Until then, keep sharing your light and keep spreading those abundance vibes.